2019, and I hereby call the meeting of the Stark County Board of Supervisors to order. And if you would care to, please join in the pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. First, I would entertain a motion to adopt today's agenda.
So moved. Second.
Edmonds?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Wilson, aye. We've adopted our agenda for today. Next, we move to public comment number one. This comment period for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's any members of the public who would like to address, please enclose the microphone. Seeing nobody moving the microphone, I'll call it close to comment. Next, we do not have any industry reports today. We will go to consideration of the minutes of our October 8th meeting. Is there a motion?
I so move. Second.
Comment? Discussion? Wilson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Morgan? Aye. Minutes are approved. Next, consideration of personnel actions. I would entertain a motion for consideration of the actions as listed.
I move for approval of the personnel actions as listed. Second.
Question?
Heaven?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Morgan?
Aye.
Additional
action approved. Next, claims, the 2017
claims, entertain motion. I would so move as presented. Second. Wilson? Aye. Heaven? Aye. Consent agenda. Again, entertain motion
for approval of all the items on the consent agenda.
I move for approval of all the items listed on the consent agenda. I second.
Okay. Aye. Wilson?
Aye.
Morgan? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. And we move down to public hearing items. We do not have any public hearings. Down to 11 already. Additional items. Leanne Carter is here to talk to us about the consideration of the capital improvement plan form and the timeline.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
These are ones that you saw last week in draft format. There have been some modifications. I did get Supervisor Hedden's proposed changes as well as some formatting. To the best that I can, it's an Excel spreadsheet was the basis for this, and then I PDF it. So there's some spacing issues that may look a little wonky, but hopefully I address them as best as I can. So what is before you are the draft forms and the timeline. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I have no questions.
I don't have any questions. Thanks, Leanne. It does, like, as my email, it just, things just kind of lined up a little bit better or whatever, so I appreciate it. And I thought that might have been just some formatting as well and stuff. I know when I've been working on stuff just at home, when I switch it over from even a Word to a PDF, it goes totally not what I thought it was going to do. So certainly appreciate how things work or don't work at times.
Well, and I just PDF'd again right before the meeting with the revised copies, and it still is not. I'll play with it a little bit before I send it out.
So,
but my intention is to distribute it early afternoon.
So, otherwise, it looks good to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you did change the work session for supervisors September 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be here on the original date. I appreciate you doing that, and thanks, everybody.
Consideration of that. So I have no questions.
Thank you for the work on it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, I would entertain a motion then.
Did you have comments, Mark?
No, I was
going to
make the motion.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. No, okay. So I would move that we adopt the time frame as presented today with the amendments and changes. And also that we adopt the CPI one, Form 1 and CPI Form 2 as presented today.
I will second those motions.
Okay. Any discussion? No.
Wilson?
Aye.
Edmund? Aye.
Merkin? Aye. You're approved. Okay. We're on our way then. And now we have Jerry Moore, Director of Planning and Development, Director of Support of the Report.
Good morning.
Hi.
Third quarter report. And we're still
starting with the zoning permit that we received, and this is the review for the last 5 years, and it again, it shows you the third quarter. We actually ended up pretty close to last year's third quarter. We had 41, there was 42 total permits issued. 2017 continues to be the big year that we've had over the last 5 years, with a total of 47. 10 of those were single-family dwellings, and 31 of those were other permits, additions to houses, decks, fences, those kinds of things. This is the dot map. It shows you, in this case, where the single-family dwelling permits were issued. If you look closely, you'll see 9 dots. There's actually 10. Two of those are real close at the Irons. There's 2 single-family homes along 190th that we reviewed and issued. But the west third of the west fourth continues to show activity. We also have some activity in the southeast part of the township around the Maxwell and Nevada area. Valuation, we're down a little bit from the previous 2018 third quarter. In this case, valuation, the biggest year was 2016, with around $6 million. Again, we had about $2.6 million in valuation.
Jerry, on that 2016, was that Cameron Estates maybe, or was that, I can't remember when Cameron Estates first came up. It was earlier.
Yeah, I came in 2015, so we probably did issue quite a few permits for the second phase of Cameron Estates. So quite a few of them could have been for that.
Okay.
And most of those are the single family dwellings, but that was probably the biggest development that we had at that time period.
Thank you.
We also reviewed a conditional use permit for NextEra Energy. They have several wind energy systems. They actually converted 100 of those systems in Warren, Lincoln, and Sherwin Townships. The valuation on all of those was over $103 million. And we ended up taking in a little over $150,000 per minute. But that project is underway. We have issued all the zoning permits. And there was some concern or issues with the shadow flicker. There was 21 dwellings where they weren't able to meet our standard not to exceed 10 hours of shadow flicker per year. They reached agreements with all but one of those landowners. And we just went back to the Board of Adjustment and provided those 9 of the last 10 agreements to the Board of Adjustment.
What happens in the event that they don't come to agreement?
They have to meet the requirements, not to exceed the 10 hours on the actual dwelling. It also references other structures, but in this area there's no schools or churches. So primarily the focus is on dwellings. But they can do a number of things, like provide buffering. They can do like window treatments or awnings. Sometimes it's a financial situation, a financial agreement, stipend that is agreed upon between the applicant and the property owner. So it's
working with the last owner.
What's that?
They're still working with the tenant.
There's one more person that they're working with, but they submitted a letter that indicated that they would meet the county's requirements, which is part of what our ordinance says. Either they have to meet the requirements or they work out an agreement with the landowners.
Thank you.
Development applications down 2 from 2018's third quarter. We had 4 conditional use permits, 1 rezoning, 1 variance, and stormwater and erosion control ordinance. And again, 2017 was a big year for development cases with 12 for the third quarter. These are the things that we worked on. The animal control tower, all these are conditional use permits. Shadow flicker agreements, as I mentioned, 9 of those 10. We went back to the Board of Adjustment last month with those.
The Bacon's Lake Cabin was a conditional use permit. Rowland Veterinary Clinic, west of Rowland, they received conditional use permit for the boarding activity. They also obtained a rezoning from A1 to A2 for the actual veterinary business. We had a variance that we looked at for an addition to a house that was non-conforming. The ordinance I mentioned, Amelia has been working very hard on the LUCA for the census, which is local update of census addressing. And so she's taken the baton on from the work that Emily did, and Emily prepared all this information through the assistance of others who were participating on this project. And they flagged over 109 properties that they had questions about. And again, the focus here is identifying dwellings and attaching an address. And in some cases, we have properties that have accessory structures that have been converted to, you know, single family dwellings or habitable spaces. And the employees for the census wouldn't necessarily know that. So it's quite an elaborate process. It involves like a cover letter for each one that you're going to appeal, plus you have to provide a lot of documentation. So she spent quite a few hours working on that. She submitted that in September and is currently working on the new construction program, which is also part of the census data. They want to know about all new dwellings that were started in March of 2018 that will be constructed and completed in April of next year. So that's what she's currently working on.
So on that, when we're appealing, it's not an appeal like we normally think. It's more like adding or editing the information.
That's the term that the census uses. Yeah. It's basically stating that we think the information that we provided you the first time was correct. We're both redoing each other's work, so to speak. And so, you know, and it's all about making sure that we count people. And so, you know, we think it's very important, worthwhile to identify these. And as I said, there's over 100 of these. And she was pretty creative on how she was able to demonstrate that we actually had people living, using like logs. Like certain folks would come to meetings and they actually indicated their name and their address. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We feel pretty good about the process that we're going through, and I'll update you once we hear back from them on it.
Can I ask a question there?
Yeah.
You had a meeting with some city officials earlier this year on the census. Have you been doing more work with the individual cities? Coordinator help?
John Cook, the coordinator, sent us some information to help us put together, like, brochures, PowerPoint presentation information. We provided that to them. We participated in the City of Ames's complete count committee meeting that they had about a week ago. They had representatives from the Iowa State University, nonprofit organizations, the chamber was represented, there were several others. So it was kind of their kickoff meeting. John was there. I met with Carla, community services director, and as a way to try to, you know, communicate, talk about the goals, and try to figure out ways to reach the hard-to-count people. And she gave me some ideas and some contacts. Some of those folks I forwarded on to the City of Ames's contact liaison. And so I think it's one of those things where the more you do, the better off the community or the county is going to be. And I don't think you can do enough. So we've got 6 months to work on this, but the staff from the census are pretty excited about the ways that people are going to be able to self-enumerate
They can go, they can use their phones or devices that they might have. They can call in, whereas the previous census, we didn't have the technology. So they're thinking that that's going to help produce the numbers that are needed. What's that?
Thank you for coming.
No problem. It's ongoing. Mm-hmm. Insignificant modifications, those are administratively reviewed. We had a couple of towers. It seems like every month we get requests to change out antennas or equipment on towers. Conceptual reviews, we had two subdivisions, the animal control tower. We had four in 2018 for the third quarter. Property research, again, when property owners or people who are interested in property want to know if the property can be divided or used for a different purpose, they submit an application. We charge a fee of $30 to do a review and provide a report. We had 10 of those requests this third quarter. 2018, we had 8, and in 2017, there were 6. Also attended some really good damage assessment training the emergency management staff, Melissa, put on. Planning and development staff, conservation staff, the assessors department was there. And they were teaching us to learn a new program that's available that will be that will really come in handy if we ever have to use it. Hopefully we never do. But it was very worthwhile. I mentioned I participated in the Complete Count Committee with the City of Ames. They're going to have their second meeting, first part of the year. Citizen Serve, the board approved planning and development and the county to go to a new platform to accept permitting and development cases, special project software. Stephanie is taking this on. She's working with the consultant, with IT, downloading, making information available in folders like the county logo, user list, parcel data, GIS information, and so we're also working with Matt Boyk on that information.
When will that be available for the citizens to use, for the public?
I don't know that we've actually been given an actual start date. We're told like November, December. It should be pretty solid, but there's a lot of work to do yet. And, part of it, I think, is just the consultants learning what our processes are. Where I came from, we went through a similar process, and it took just several months just for them to understand how we do things, how we work. And so that'll be a big part of this. But we know that we're going to have some responsibility once we get this in place to do some outreach, at minimum put information on our website, but we're going to have to get out into the county and talk to, different users and help them understand how to use it. So we know that that's going to be a big part of this.
Thank you.
Upcoming things, 2020 new construction program, as I mentioned, Amelia's working on that. We're also helping the city of Gilbert and Storage City identify their construction starts from March of 2018 to those that will be constructed as of April of next year. We've got a few subdivisions, one minor, which is just a simple division, once into two. 8th edition, Country Estates, Carnes Residential Subdivision, and then the Ag Subdivision. Raspberry Hill, the applicants obtained a conditional use permit. This is the McKay property on the south side of Ames. They obtained a conditional use permit in March or April to do an addition to the house that would be ADA accessible. It was to be a bedroom. They decided not to do that. Instead, they want to enclose an existing patio and make that a multi-use space for bed and breakfast guests that, where they're able to do scheduled events for meetings, parties, and that type of thing. They're also going to make a bathroom ADA accessible, and then the entrance will be ADA accessible, which will make the existing
master bedroom, the accessible bedroom.
Could,
so, yep.
I'll wait until you're done. I do have a question about Radbury Hill, but
yeah, and that's before the Board of Adjustment tomorrow.
So, it's my understanding there's another lawsuit that we're not named in, but related to Radbury Hill now, that the owners of Radbury Hill have now sued their neighbors. And I'm just wondering, have you been subpoenaed in that yet or anything?
Yeah, I mean, every time there's activity on this property, I always have to sit back and try to think, okay, is this, you know, is this something that I can talk about? Is it public information?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I have not been subpoenaed, but there's been interest in our department participating in that. There's going to be a trial with regard to what you're speaking of.
Okay.
And but I've communicated with our with the legal counsel about it, and they've given me some advice on how to proceed. And so we will assuredly follow that advice.
Okay.
But yeah, there's we currently have three appeals active. One was with YSS. They wanted to do a youth treatment facility there. The bed and breakfast and separate event venue. The same applicants obtained a conditional use permit for campground and RV park. And again, all three of those were challenged by an adjacent property owner. In each case, the judge ruled that the Board of Adjustment, they weren't sure how they made their decision because they didn't make it based on written findings of fact. And so we have, the county has taken a position to appeal all three of those.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update. When this is all over, it will be, I think it would be interesting to have some kind of review discussion, just what has everyone learned from this, from the county standpoint, whether it be the Board of Adjustment or staff, or, you know, or is there anything more to have been learned from this?
We feel that we followed the county's ordinance requirements with regard to conditional use permits. We've heard comments from the attorneys that are working on this that our process is the poster children for how we should be doing things. So we have added, though, because of the court case, we've added a separate process for written findings of fact. And, you know, after we have a hearing on an issue, the following month, we basically use information from the staff report, but we include information, discussion from general public. We include discussion from the Board of Adjustment, you know, what was decided, and present a separate document that the Board of Adjustment takes action on, and that document is recorded. So that's one thing that we've learned from it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the detail.
We're on a variance request for a property northeast of Ames. We also recently attended the Iowa APA conference in Iowa City. I went for one day. The planning staff went 3 days. A lot of good sessions. It's a good opportunity to meet up with others that do work that you do. So it's rewarding. But there's a session on large wind energy. NextEra Energy was presenting with a representative from Osceola County. And so they were going through a conversion process similar to what we went through. So I was interested in learning about that. A little bit smaller scale, though. It was 60 units compared to the 100 units that we just went through. There was an individual who spoke about, you know, revitalizing parts of the city of Detroit. Very dynamic speaker, very interesting issue, you know, and he really talked about the human aspect of the work that they did and the focus of their organization and, you know, their goals in trying to help the community, help the children, help with improving the learning process and help with job and skill development. And so I think I got a lot out of that, a lot more than I anticipated, which is nice. But so
And at our staff meeting this morning, we all kind of shared different things that we took from attending that conference. So I think it was worthwhile. Complaints, enforcement, court action, again, Crestview, we have, that's active. Ogden property, that's a fence that has not been constructed. I received a call last week, though, from that property owner. She indicated that the contractor was planning to come over the weekend and finish it. We've got to follow up with her. Wiggers, he converted his house and has like three separate dwelling units compared to the one that is permitted there. We also received a call from the ombudsman's office. The property owner at Crestview was confused about some of the things that we are taking issue with him, primarily with regard to the debris that's on all three properties. It's not just where the mobile home park was, and then with the vehicles. And so we are providing information to the ombudsman's office and helping them try to understand our position and the process that we're going through. We had an email from somebody who had a concern about, actually it was a drop-in visit from somebody who claimed is running a business on South Dayton. It's like a lawn mowing, snow removal, and I think there's some other things going on there. And I received a call from the attorney for the property, also received a call this morning from somebody who's renting or leasing the building, so we'll continue to work with that. Also received a tip on a property on the west side of South Duff, Jensen, on bringing in dirt for some improvements that are being made for there's plans to build some homes.
Mm-hmm.
There's like six separate parcels there. Each one of those is buildable. They meet our requirements for allowing a zoning permit to be built. But we're working with them in understanding the dirt that has been brought to the property. It looks like there's some buffering that they're working on, and then I think there's some plans to do like a pond. So I've had some initial discussions with the property owner on that, but that's ongoing. We also heard about an unfortunate situation in Southeast Story County involving a creek that was, the alignment was changed without obtaining any permits from the county with regard, because it's in the floodplain.
Okay.
So there's no permits from the county, no permits from the DNR or the Army Corps of Engineers. And our ordinance basically, we work with the DNR in a situation like this. So a very unfortunate situation where there was, like, they did clear cutting, moved the dirt, closed up the creek, and the creek was closed, basically shut off for several days.
Wow.
Why did they do
that? I think it had to do with wanting to create more space for farm ground and concerns about erosion into farm ground, row crop ground, is primarily why it was done. But we've heard that there was like 500 different species that were impacted by this activity.
Wow.
So it did.
Right.
Well, I think right now they're in fix-it mode, but there will likely be fines. The property owner that's responsible will likely be heavily fined for the activity. Have you heard anything about that one? Do you know which one I'm talking about? Okay. So we're monitoring, working with the DNR on it. We responded to it, provided our input. We actually did a review with DNR staff and others. But it's pretty substantial. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
especially without, you know, there's one thing to want to do that or have a plan to do it, but to just to do it. And part of the problem is it was on somebody else's property that they impacted. So it's a huge thing.
Oh, my. So yeah. Also, is it in a – do we have a drainage district involved in this also, given that the initial issue was over, I guess, wetness?
Yeah, it's in the floodplain. I don't think that there's a drainage district involved.
Okay, just wonder.
340th Street. But a lot of trees, large trees removed, dirt moved. Like I said, the creek was flowing, and then when we were there, it was stopped. I mean, you couldn't see the creek because it was filled with dirt. But you could, you know, they pushed like some of the tree debris in the creek. You could hear movement of fish, like they were trapped. You know, I saw evidence of some of the fish that had died because there wasn't the oxygen that they need to survive. But yeah, it's a mess.
When did we first get notice of this?
It was a few weeks ago. I was actually, I can't remember if I was here at a board meeting and then got contacted by our county attorney's office about it, and then went out and met others.
You contacted the DNR and it's
in
DNR.
They are already contacted by the property and who was affected.
Is the water moving again?
I'm told that it is.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, with the rains that we had during that time period, that helped. But I think their goal is to try to require the landowner that did the activity to fix it, you know, to work with consultants through a plan to fix what they did.
I don't know about you two, but I'd be interested just in being kept apprised of that as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then the last two, these have been ongoing. There's a lot of junk vehicles, parts, and different things, but we're working with them because each time we go out, we have deadlines. Each time we go out, they're taking care of things. And so we continue to work with them. We have a couple of businesses, home businesses. Weeds Tree Service, we went through the process to amend the ordinance to allow like a minimal easing of the ordinance and then more of a significant easing. The landowner or the business owner for Weiss indicated that he was interested in pursuing the substantial easing, which ultimately involves the middle of a conditional use permit and then a plan to leave the property. He indicated that he was interested in that, so we've got to follow up with him. PSA, they're in the Ames River Fringe. That one may be a little more complicated because it would involve a land use designation change. It actually has like a mining designation because it's a Martin Marietta footprint that's in that area there. Again, those are two that we're working with, trying to get compliant or to have them go through a process. What's that? They provide like services for apartment
property
management.
Yeah.
And they also do some landscaping services, but they do maintenance on buildings.
Yep.
Primarily.
I have a question in general about the complaints enforcement court action. There's more than are usually listed for a quarter, and I understand we're going to probably always have more complaints in the summer, spring, summer, kind of fall thing, but are you finding that some of the outreach efforts that we do for your department and in general are making people more aware that they can call and complain? Which is good. I don't mean complain, but call to ask questions about.
Yeah, and you know, this is not all of them. Although probably on the per quarter basis, we probably get one or two a month in most cases. But yeah, I think outreach helps to let people know, what
expectations are. And they use different means to communicate. Sometimes they'll just come in. They might be here to pay for their driver's license, and so they come down. They work their way down to our office. We get a lot of emails, quite a few emails. So some of these you can resolve pretty quickly, and others, you know, if we're trying to, you know, in most cases we try to work with people. If they show that, you know, they understand what's required and they make a genuine effort to address whatever the issue is, given the time period that's provided, we continue to work with them. And so, like the last two there, we've had those a while, but they're progressive, you know, they're incrementally making improvements in cleaning up, which ultimately is what the goal is.
Thank you.
And then work program, I'd love to say everything is done, not done. We've got a few things that have been completed, though. The ordinance got approved by the board, very happy about that. Grading was a part of that. Gabe and I, our intern, visited every subdivision in the county through the summer. I didn't think that we would, but we ended up driving through every subdivision. Part of the goal there is to look through our records to see if these, you know, what the status is for subdivisions. Were the roads dedicated for public use, and then take a look at the signage situation. For the most part, our records show that, you know, most of these roads, it's clear that they were dedicated for public use. In some cases, the resolutions, it's not, you know, for reading them, it's not clear that the roads were dedicated for public use. And then signage was, you know, we didn't see anything really overly surprising. A few subdivisions had stop signs. A few had signs to try to slow down traffic, you know, children at play. And then some would post like a speed limit. And so a couple of things that we're thinking about doing that we're working on is to have a model resolution that we use anytime we have a subdivision with language that's consistent and clear that there's a requirement to have the roads dedicated for public use. We're considering having property owners, developers submit information about signage, you know, where it's going to be located generally, what the purpose is, and then there's different standards that can be applied. There's all different types of signs. You've got some that are handcrafted. Some look like there's signs that, you know, Darren might acquire to post on a public road right away. And so we're considering, you know, an ordinance amendment that might require something like that. But it's something that we know that engineering secondary roads needs to embrace. We've had some initial discussions about it. We would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission with this because it's a work item, and then ultimately put the Board of Supervisors on it. Nothing surprising really about that. But it was interesting to see all of the subdivisions. We actually have a gated subdivision on North Ames. We inquired about it. Apparently it's more decorative. But we just wanted to make sure that it's left open in case there's an emergency, that those that need to respond can get through.
Didn't they agree that it is left open?
Yeah. I'm not really sure why it's there, but they assured us that it's, you know, it's not closed. But Gabe did find some information about the road and the right-of-way for that development, and that they can't do anything to restrict access, so I would think that would include, you know, not shutting that off, but we thought we needed to at least ask to find out why it was there.
It's very close to a commercial.
Very close. Very close.
Yeah, they might think that we discourage people from meandering down that road.
Right. One thing that we did pick up on, it really wasn't a part of the work program, was the size of the road. we have a pretty decent inspection process now, and we have, some of these roads are very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we only encountered a couple of situations where we had a two-way traffic situation, but we want to make sure that these roads are being built to at least whatever our minimum standards are, so that that's never an issue.
Is that covered by our current ordinances, or is this something?
Right, we have minimum requirements, unless it's waived by our engineer.
Which one is pre-existing one?
Yeah, the ones I'm talking about are existing. I don't know that they're before subdivision standards.
The one I'm thinking of is kind of north, the northwest, correct? Northwest of Ames? Okay.
Are you talking about a specific one?
The one I'm thinking of that had a gate across.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
Northwest, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We are reviewing the ordinance. Land development regulations, we have two chapters to go on our first pass through. And then we kind of looked at we were to look at where the rezonings have been to see if there's a trend or if we need to make some adjustments. And we think they've kind of been scattered throughout, so we haven't really identified any specific trends. The lease evaluation that we did was approved by the board. Gabe and Stephanie are working on the transparency that we're supposed to be working on. We have 10 questions that we respond to with requests. We provided some detailed information about each of those, as well as some additional information. So the goal is to get this posted here fairly soon. It's not quite ready yet, but Gabe is working Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to noon. So we're happy to have him back.
Yeah,
and,
nice.
Happy to have his contribution. And then, as I mentioned, Amelia's working on the new construction program on the census material. Be happy to answer your questions.
I have a question about the urban fringe plan. It's set to expire next year. Did we talk about asking the other parties whether they'd be interested in central extension at this point, given that Ames is doing a 2040?
Right. Well, and we also reached out to the county attorney's office, and they indicated that it's something that we can request for an extension. As you know, Ames is heavily involved in their 2040 comprehensive plan. Likely will not be completed with that until the summer, probably of next year. But I think they are interested in at least if we need to have some type of adoption process, whether it be like a resolution that indicates the willingness of the county and the city or cities to work together to work on an amendment to the plan.
Would you take formal action in this board to make a formal request, but would you want to look into it, just have some discussions and see if it's able to go in that direction?
Right. Yeah. I've actually had discussion with the planning and development director about continuing it, moving forward, amending it, and mm-hmm. I can tell you he was receptive to that idea. And I think this is something that we could put on our work program too, to work on what those next steps would be,
right,
in working with Ames, working with Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
There's been some discussions about possibility of including Nevada in that, or maybe doing a separate one with Nevada. There
right.
might be some possibilities with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Linda.
I don't
want
to let that go.
No.
So that's a good topic.
I have no questions, but I do want to just give the board a little information. I'm still trying to get in contact with the editor, Elber, at the ISU Daily. I have not forgotten about that. I've done 3 different types of reach out and not been able to make that contact, but I have not forgotten about there would be appropriate, especially like the extension of the intern program and how successful it has been, that there may be some opportunity throughout the year to get a county article in, starting with that. So just wanted to let you know about that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, and I don't have any questions. Thank you for a very thorough report.
Thank you. Thank you.
And under other reports, we have Assistant Auditor Lisa Markley on the FY 20 for the financial report. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
As is normal, I try to give you an update as soon after the quarter ends as humanly possible. And the first quarter of the year gives us a pretty good indication of how we're flowing, I think. We have two departments that are over the 25% of the year. Nothing to worry about as far as I'm concerned. Quite frankly, usually at this time of the year we have more than two. So, you know, overall we're at 18.2% of our expenditures, which is, you know, almost 7% under 25%. So the fund statuses, the fund status balances, obviously, I'm trying to give you an idea of where we're at. We're at 19% of the year of the general fund, which is pretty good, I think. 27% of supplemental, which is about standard. Our big insurance payment is due at the very beginning of the year. So that always throws our balance off or our expenses off at the beginning of the year, fiscal year. It'll even out. The other funds are, you know, under the 25%, obviously, of the expenses. In the restricted assigned, in the general fund, that includes the $3 million bond payment we did take in. So I've restricted those dollars because it can only be used for the StoryCom. So some of those dollars are included in there. And the committed is the energy transfer funds, DAPL funds, where we're at on those as of now. For revenues, you know, this is nice to see all of the ones that are over 25% in the revenues. There's quite a few of them. The countywide is at 47.47. Basically, that's where the property taxes come into. So we were at 48% of the property tax revenues at the end of September, which I thought was really good. They did a good job of getting those posted apparently fairly rapidly. Overall, we're 10% above. We're at 35% of our budgeted revenues, so we're 10% above. As Jerry noted, the planning and development at 370% of revenues includes that NextEra permit. So that was apparently unexpected when we put the budget together, huh? So I'll be amending those dollars in to the revenues at some point in time, but I'm not worried about a budget amendment at this point yet. I plan on bringing to you an appropriation resolution. If you'll recall correctly, at the beginning of the fiscal year, we appropriate 45% of the budget, 50% of the budget approximately, to the department. And until those dollars are appropriated, they can't spend. What I'm bringing to the board at the end of October will be an appropriation for the remaining 50% for the elected officials, and then 45%, so we're only going to appropriate 95% of the budgets, basically, of the rest of the departments, if that's okay with you. Seems to be a pretty good financial tool that we've been using the last 8 or 9 years, and it works fairly well. The dollars are budgeted. And if they need the dollars, we can appropriate the remaining. But at this point in time, if we don't have to, if we're, you know, being able to go forward, we're good. So that's my plan at this point in time.
I can say yes. I think it has worked very well, and everyone's used to working under that system now. So I support you doing that, Stim.
Any questions?
I don't at this time.
Okay, sounds like your plan.
Thanks.
And upcoming agenda items, are there any items to suggest?
I don't. I'm still, I will have to follow up with Ethan on the one issue that I
referenced of whether we needed to have some sort of language since we no longer have the Healthy Life Center or not.
Yes.
That's the only thing, and I didn't follow, or I just didn't follow up with them when I got back on Monday, so I will follow up with them.
Lisa, I'm wondering, have you had an opportunity or have you talked to either Heartland Senior Services, anyone from there?
That's the other person there on my call list to follow up with them and see kind of what their next step plans are.
Right.
But
okay.
When I talked with Ethan, our initial thing was, you know, because he was talking with Mark with the city and saying we probably just need to both have a resolution separating that out, and whatever we do new, if there's something, then they come forward to us to say, hey, this is what we're going to do moving forward. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
All right. Well, thank you for yep. that. I mean, that hadn't even occurred to me until you brought it up. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. Was at a meeting Friday morning where just in general people
right.
were talking back and forth about what is the city going to do? Does anybody know what Harlan's going to do? So
exactly. And you certainly don't want to hurt any of the parties by any means, but going forward they would have something potentially totally different, and we don't want to have be bound by something that might not meet what we are wanting to fund or
right.
whatever our kind of criteria is or whatever. So
great, good. I don't have anything on my radar here for the agenda.
Okay, in that case, then comes a public forum number two, and for members of the public, to address items not on the agenda, which is not given action on, we will come to the meeting call, but maybe so in the future. Is there anybody, any members of the public who want to comment? Nobody going to much. I will close public forum number two, and we will discuss our liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and any announcements from the supervisors.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you announced this last week, but just another reminder that at 1:30 today, we're meeting with the Story County Historical Alliance, and that's at their request. This is an annual request where they come in and give us updates about what's going on and with them. Tonight, I'll be in Grimes for the CERHA, which is the public housing agency. And September 30th is the end of the fiscal year for them, was the end of the fiscal year. So we're going to be approving a lot of reports, certifying numbers to go into HUD. It's exciting that we're going to release some self-sufficiency funds. There's a very small program there that is that I like, that I think all the board members like. And it is for some families who are in public housing especially, but also Section 8 can use it, where as their incomes go up, earned incomes go up, a portion of that money is put into an escrow account for as their rents go up, rather than really charging them more for their rent. And when they have reached the point where they are off of public assistance, that money is released to them to help then with them obtaining other housing or continuing on their housing. And that's exciting. We're going to release some money tonight that's on the agenda. So that's exciting. Wednesday, of course, I'll be at the afternoon session of the annual safety day. Thursday, I'm volunteering at Future Ready Ames High School. And they're having some workshops for all the students. They do it related to career and life training. And I'm going to be putting on my former banking hat. And I'm going to be participating in some of the small group discussions on money know-how. We'll be discussing just exciting things like credit accounts and your how to save, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to hear what these 11th and 12th graders think about money today, because it's been a long time since I was in 11th and 12th. I actually still have a checkbook. Anyway, so, and then the Hunger Collaboration is meeting this Thursday, and I expect the big item there to be the Hunger Collaboration was yesterday, the Iowa Hunger Summit, and so there'll probably be discussions back from there. So So that's my kind of what's been going on.
Yeah, so for me, I, too, will be at the Historical Alliance meeting this afternoon. I'm actually doing the morning session of Safety Day tomorrow, so 8 a.m. And then on Thursday, I have the Aging Resources meeting down in Des Moines, and then I'm speaking at the Lions Club Thursday afternoon. So that's what I've got for this week on my calendar.
Okay. Afternoon, Historical Alliance. It's the day tomorrow afternoon. And I will be out Thursday. I have several meetings on Friday. We have emergency management, I think.
Wednesday night.
And 12 Report Shed Management Authority on Thursday. So. And Prairie River Sport on, excuse me, going too far. Anyway, several meetings. So, but the Board of the Historical Society really will have a lot of new information for us. Anything else then? Okay. And entertain motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right.